Hey Gators and sports fans, get all your Gator talk, news, analysis, and opinions on the Pod Up with Matthews in the Morning podcast. Find us on your favorite podcast platform or watch us on Facebook Live between 8 a.m. and 9 a.m. every weekday. Pod Up, because we are Gator fans. So say, it's great to be a Florida Gator.
Good morning and welcome to a Monday edition of Pod Up with Matthews in the Morning from the Crime Prevention Security System Studios, large enough to serve you, small enough to care. It's Monday. That means we got JC lined up and we got Scott Carter from FloridaGators.com recapping what happened. If he saw the Gator scrimmage last night, their final scrimmage before the season cranks up. Next week will be game week for the Gators and pretty much everybody in college football. This week is game week for a few teams, so you will have games this Saturday in college football. But first, let's go to the Titan MR hotline, and we're joined by JC. Good morning, JC. How are you?
Hey, yeah, good. I had a good weekend. How was your weekend? Good weekend? I had a good weekend. I had a pretty good one. How was yours?
Just a normal weekend. I mean, it was what
is
it was.
Is that usually good or bad? Or what is a normal weekend?
Not a whole lot going on. I mean, it's a boring time of the world right now. Well, although there's plenty of stuff going on in the world, but boring time right now. I will say I did watch a lot of preseason football, which I don't know if I ever have. We'll talk about that here momentarily, but
okay.
I'm going to go ahead and we'll talk about that in a minute. But first, I want to get your thoughts on JC. Have you been keeping up with this alliance that the Big Ten, the ACC, and the Pac-12, I think there's a three conference that are trying to do. They're trying to all join up and go against the SEC.
Well, they want to it's a scheduling. It's kind of like they're trying to schedule. You know, I don't think we're looking at one big super conference, but they're going to do a scheduling alliance to try to get these teams together and playing with each other. And I guess, I mean, you know, we all know that Notre Dame has that already with the ACC. As far as the Big Ten and the Pac-12 go, I think it makes sense because these are two conferences that highly value something called the American Association of Universities. And there are only two in the Big 12, which completely, to me, discredits any notion that the Big 12 will ever join the Pac-12. The Big 12's only chance of survival is to try to absorb or try to get along with the AAC. The Pac-12 and the Big 10, because of this American Association of Universities alliance that they value, is going to probably come to some sort of consensus. And then you have the ACC with Notre Dame, which, by the way, is, as I've said once, I'll say it again, the only school in America that you have that brings any value to any type of expansion. Now that we've seen what Texas and Oklahoma has done, there's only one school that brings real value to expansion in my mind, unless that were to change in some form or fashion, and that's Notre Dame. And Notre Dame has already told the Big Ten, I don't know how many times, that they just don't want to be a part of that. So they are going to be part of the ACC alliance of some sort. But, yes, I have heard about this. Listen, at the end of the day, everybody knows that the Southeastern Conference is the gold standard right now. Everybody knows that. So it's going to be, let's see what they do to react to whatever we try to pull off. And right now, you know, you've got a really good poker player running this conference in Greg Sankey, and he's going to pretty much keep his cards close to his hip and or to his sleeve. And right now, the only question I have is, how soon will it be before Texas and Oklahoma physically start playing games in this conference?
Next year.
That's a guess you've made, and I appreciate your enthusiasm. But we have no concrete proof of that yet. And you can say it. You can say it, but we don't know that yet. But that is hopefully going to happen, so that we can get on and really create this 12-team playoff. That I think is what the end game is. The 12-team playoff. That's where we have to get. The only way the Big 12 survives is if they bring in the AAC, I guess it is, and start absorbing Houston maybe into their conference. South Florida, Central Florida, Cincinnati, Memphis, teams like that. SMU, you know, brings some sort of value, I think, to the Big 12. That's just the way it is. The Big 12 is not going to be able to compete or at least be as noticed as these other conferences, and really has it. They've had one team that's competed in the playoff. That team has yet to win a playoff game, and now they're going to the SEC. So I did notice that. By the way, my weekend was good. My team finished third in the member out here at Hale, just so you know. Had I not kept
out of 10 team out of 10 teams, that's not great, JC.
No, that would be out of 18 teams. And
that's still
not
very good.
Third?
Hey, if you don't win, who gives a damn? You want a participation trophy?
I'll put it to you. Well, no, but it is called the bronze medal. I mean, did they give those back at the Olympics? So,
did you get a bronze medal?
Well, that's what third is. That's what third is. I can give myself a bronze medal for third. That's what third is. One stroke behind second. And had I not kept us in it on Friday, luckily my partner came back and participated on Saturday because he was a non-factor. Hey, Sam! He was a non-factor on Saturday, or Friday, rather. But Saturday we pulled it together. And so that was a good part of the weekend. But the other part of the weekend that I wanted to bring up that you mentioned earlier was the preseason football games. And not that I'm a big preseason guy, because I really can't stand watching it. And those who bet on preseason football games deserve what they get. But there were two quarterbacks that I noticed out of the SEC, the school that is always shunned for its quarterbacks, and that would be Alabama's Mac Jones and Tua Tagovailoa, all having big games in what I would consider the most important of the three preseason games, which is the second game. And that was Tua throwing for about 170-some-odd yards and really lighting it up. And then my guy right here, Mac Jones, who's going to push Cam Newton by the end of the year, probably be the Patriots starter. So I've got the Patriots hat here. I've got Tua's hat here for the Dolphins. Watch the AFC East. It could be very interesting with Buffalo throwing the ball probably more than any team in the NFL. And then the improved New York Jets team with Zach Wilson showing everybody why he was the number two pick. So I think the AFC East could be very interesting.
Well, Mac Jones played extremely well. I think he will be their starter. He's clearly a better quarterback, in my opinion, than Cam. I think he's going to last a long time for that team. But I'm going to tell you right now, the rookie of the year in the National Football League is going to be Zach Wilson. I've said it since he was a freshman at BYU. His talent level is off the charts. His pocket awareness, his mobility, his release, his vision of the field. I think he's going to be the rookie of the year.
All right.
I'm calling it right now.
Well, he's going to get his chance because that is their guy, and he will start. And unlike the other guys, I think Trey Lance got off to kind of a rough start, but he did settle in against the Chargers, who had been working out with the whole week with San Francisco. But Garoppolo gives them their best chance. Trey Lance, I'm not sure yet. Justin Fields got hit a bunch. Not sure if he's going to start there. I think it's still Andy Dalton, but he won't last long if the Bears don't succeed. And then who else am I missing there?
Trevor Lawrence plays tonight.
Oh, yeah, Trevor Lawrence plays tonight, right. Okay.
But, Zach Wilson, Trask played okay. He had a couple of interceptions. I watched him play the other night. And he's trying to force the ball down the field way too much. Mm-hmm. He needs to just say, you know what, I'm going to throw completions because his completion percentage is extremely low right now. I'm watching him, and I feel like I'm watching him the one – I can't remember how many years Jameis Winston played for Bruce Arians. Was it 1 year or 2 years?
Yeah,
he threw a million interceptions.
Yeah, I think it was just one. Well, he threw 35 picks and 35 touchdowns, something.
Right, but that's what I'm saying is it's almost like I don't know what they're doing in that meeting room if they're telling them to throw the ball down the field no matter what, because he needs to just check it down when it's not open under. Check it down.
Send it down.
You know, we'll see. I've been impressed with Zach Wilson since he played at BYU as a freshman. And I think he's going to be a phenomenal pro.
I'll tell you who had a bad day and leaves some doubt as to how high he was picked. And even though I think it's just one bad day, hopefully it's not a pattern, but Ja'Marr Chase couldn't catch a thing. He was scared. He didn't want anything to do with those middle passes. I don't know if you saw any of those highlights, but he had an awful game with Cincinnati against Washington. And now if Joe Burrow doesn't get help, Joe Burrow's not going to last. Because I'm not sure about Cincinnati yet. That division is also going to be highly competitive with Cleveland being really good, I think, and Baltimore, of course, along with Pittsburgh, who's probably going to be the pick to win that division. When do you want to do the picks? Next weekend or the weekend after for the division?
We have plenty of time. The NFL is still 3 weeks away.
It is. Yeah, you're right. Okay. Well,
I can tell you right now who I think has a chance to win the damn Super Bowl that nobody's talking about.
that nobody's talking about?
I'm not going to tell you who it is. I'm going to say.
Well, then why'd you just say that, goofball?
Well, I got a couple Facebook Lives I need to read here, brought to you by Meldon Law. Gene says, did either of y'all see the Little League Classic with the Indians and the Angels? I did not. This and the Field of Dreams game were great ideas by Major League Baseball, unlike the All-Star game that removal from Atlanta.
Yeah.
What happened with the Indians and the Angels? I missed it.
One of them won, but they played at the Little League ballpark where the kids are at up in Pennsylvania. I think it's Williamsport.
Did they move the fence back?
I think so. They had to adapt the field conditions. But they dressed them up in Little League uniforms, right, that represented – West, I think it was West and Midwest or something. I did watch about 5 minutes of that. I watched the Cleveland pitcher strike out two batters and walk off the field. And, you know, the kids were all sitting there. The little leaguers that were still there, I guess, for the summer are still there. They all got to sit really close to the field and see the elite, the best in the world play at a very close proximity. And it was a nice little a gesture and feature by Major League Baseball to do that for those kids in Williamsport, I guess it is, in Pennsylvania. So, yeah, I think it was a good idea. I don't see anything wrong with letting kids watch a game in their little ballpark there and having the Angels and the Indians, you know, two Major League Baseball teams going nowhere, but still Major League Baseball teams play in that game. And it was cool for those kids to get to watch those players. I don't know how many kids know in Pennsylvania, well, let's just say the Angels and Indians are somewhat irrelevant, but they're still Major League Baseball teams. It was great to have them there. I'm sure the kids loved it, and it was, I'm sure, yeah, I agree with Gene. It was a good idea.
Turn your car, truck into a rolling billboard for your business or brand with an eye-catching vehicle wrap from Wrap Spot. This August, mention promo code Shane and receive 13% off your vehicle wrap. All right, so Dan says here on Facebook Live, brought to you by Metal Law, he says, A.J. McCarron out for the Falcons sets up nice for Felipe Franks in Atlanta. Did they cut him or did he get hurt?
No, he got hurt. The only problem with that tweet is I would agree with it somewhat, but the problem we're having here is can Felipe play at this level? And
I
don't know. Can he? Have you seen this
number? Have you seen some of these other guys that are playing?
That's true. Well, I know. I mean, it's – yeah, there's a lot of guys who we don't know.
He's not going to be the starter. Neither was A.J. McCarron.
No, he's not. But I don't know. I mean, there's nothing special that he's done yet. But, he's on the roster. We'll see if he stays there. I don't think it's a guarantee he's going to stay there. There is a guarantee I have for you that my golf picks this part of the year have been better than yours because I had Rahm and Thomas – and Rahm's going to win it today. He's going to beat Cameron.
How are they going to play today is what I want to know.
Well, I know. I mean, if that course is too wet, I have no idea how they're going to play. And, you know,
just had a hurricane or tropical storm come through yesterday.
Well, here's how. In New Jersey, if you look at geography here, the storm went east. It went east over the Hamptons of Long Island, the point of Long Island through Montauk. It went up through Rhode Island. The worst part of these storms is usually on the eastern side of the eye. Jersey is far west of that.
And I'm pretty sure when I was watching the Weather Channel, they said the worst part of this storm was on the west.
Well, I don't think you watched that right.
The meteorologist says usually in tropical storms, as you just mentioned, well, the worst part is the east. They said the worst part of this storm was the west. But regardless, there's a ton of rain. I don't know how they're going to play a golf tournament today.
Well, then maybe they'll play tomorrow or Wednesday. All I'm telling you is John Rahm is 16 under with Cameron Davis.
So is Cameron.
Okay. You didn't pick him.
Who shot 60. This golf course is way too easy for these guys.
And you still didn't pick him. And
let me just back up.
Who's
you
my other
John,
pick?
You picked John Rahm as your last pick, I believe.
Justin Thomas and John Rahm are two of my three. Where's yours?
Right. Mine.
Hey, where are you guys?
Who did I pick? Kepka's at 11 under. Schauffele's 11 under.
They'll be traveling to the next location. By the time my guy Rahm gets done winning, Rahm's had a great year. I mean, if you look at Rahm, I mean, for all intents and purposes, won the Memorial, even though they took it from him. And then he did win the U.S. Open and something else. So he's been the golfer of the year.
You think he's going to win golfer of the year? I don't.
I think he's going to be in there. Who do you have? Oh, you have Colin Morikawa, but I you could name Colin Morikawa the golfer of the year. I Louis would be, but he finished second all the time. So I think Rahm's got a shot at it. Maybe not. I mean, Colin Morikawa is definitely a high probability.
Yeah, I don't know how they go about voting on that. I don't know who does it. So, no, but I have a hard time believing they're going to be able to play a golf tournament today.
Well, I don't know. That's just what I read, is that they're trying to play it on
Monday. Well, that's why they canceled it on Sunday to play on Monday. But regardless,
mm-hmm.
I mean, think about when tropical storms come through our town. There is no way to play a golf tournament the very next day. You're looking at 3 or 4 days later.
I don't know, but we also don't have an army of people getting a golf course ready.
Well, what are they going to do? In helicopters to fly across the entire course and dry it out?
It's amazing what these guys do on these golf courses, as you know. I'll tell you another team to watch and another group that you want to keep your eye on is, and you said this last week, is the Tennessee team. The Titans are.
Could be the best team in the AFC.
They're going to be hard out. You got Derrick Henry, my guy, Heisman Trophy winner. You've got Julio Jones now, if he's healthy, and then A.J. Brown on the other side. Dear Lord, I mean, what a matchup nightmare. But, you know, they'll probably win that division. True, it's a weak division. But I think the AFC East is going to be the one to really watch. These Dolphins here and these Patriots here are going to be pretty tough. Buffalo's going to throw it everywhere, and the Jets will be an improved team. So, yeah, I think the AFC East could be more interesting than it's been in years, because it's only been one team, right? Now we've got some real competition in that conference, or the division.
John says on Facebook Live, Pro Football Focus tweeted out that Marco Wilson has the most PBUs among NFL rookie DBs. Look, I've tried to tell people from day one, Marco Wilson's going to play in the NFL a long time.
Marco.
But everybody wants to look. It's just like somebody on this show, I believe it was on this show, told somebody that I think it was Patrick Surtain, will be a long, long professional football player. And you kept complaining about how he can't cover anybody. Yeah. And they talk about he's one of the best guys in the league.
Well, he hasn't played a pro game yet, but go ahead and make your proclamation. But I will tell you this, somebody on this show told somebody else on this show in front of the millions and millions of viewers that Anthony Richardson would be a factor, and you're going to see him play. You know,
Who said he wouldn't play?
Well, you said he wasn't going to start, and he wasn't going
to. He's not going to start.
Well, he may not in the first game, but how do you know he won't start by the fifth game? How do you know he won't start by the fourth game?
He might, but I seriously doubt it. But here's my point. Those guys have got to throw completions. And until we see them throw completions, we're going to be a running football team. You can book it.
Yeah, well, and that's not a surprise to anybody, QB. I mean, anybody who's seen Dan Mullins run offense knows. But my point is
they're not great throwers.
Well,
and you're not going to become a great thrower all of a sudden. It just doesn't happen. Cliff says, I'm not sold on Tannehill. He's a solid player, but he is the weak link of the Tennessee Titans at this point.
Well, he's a very wealthy weak link, because they gave him a huge contract, and he is going to be their guy for the foreseeable long term. So you might as well just pencil him in for good, unless he gets hurt. Because, you know, and really injuries will say, you know, who's going to get hot at the end of the year and who doesn't, I think. A lot of that's going to have to do with it. Tampa Bay had a great season last year because very few guys got hurt, if anybody. And then you have teams who always have guys get hurt. So, you know, a lot of that has to do with a 17-game schedule. And, you know, you break it down into quarters or whatever. And, you know, a lot of that's dictated on health. And Tannehill's had some injury issues, but he's their long-term guy.
Yeah, and now they're Mike Vrabel's out with COVID. So, that's the NFL. Their policy is, you know, let me just say, I want to give a shout-out to a guy I coached with at Buchholz, who was coaching on Kerwin's staff, passed away Wednesday. John Peacock at 33 passed away with COVID. And he got it on like Sunday, tested positive Sunday, was vaccinated. And our thoughts and prayers go out to his family. He's from Gainesville, Buchholz. So, if you've got joint pain in your knees, shoulders, hip, or back that won't go away, you need to check out QC Kinetics for long-lasting relief. No surgery, drugs, or downtime. Schedule a free consultation at QC Kinetics, 352-400-4550. Call them today, QC Kinetics, 352-400-4550. Speaking with JC, got Scott Carter coming up here momentarily. Dan says on Facebook Live, brought to you by Mellon Law, Kadarius Toney is having a garbage of a start to his career. Mm. I don't think he's played any, if I'm aware. I'm not sure what's going on with him. So,
well, the Giants, listen, here's the problem for Kirk Kadarius. This is just an opinion, but I just don't think Jason Garrett's that good of an offensive play call. I know he's an offensive guy as a quarterback. Jason Garrett was the coach of the Cowboys. They just weren't that good, right? And when you get Jason Garrett in there running a very, I think it's kind of a vanilla type of offense. That's what
I think it's more. I think it's more than just him getting the football.
Well,
I think he's
here's
got
the
some off the field stuff going on.
You can guess about that. Nobody knows.
Well, I'm just going by what Dan says. Dan follows this a lot closer than you and I do.
Well, no, because I can tell you that the Giants have a bad offensive line.
Well, they do.
They did nothing to improve that during the draft. Zero.
He's referring to that he's been hurt or says he's been hurt. He hasn't played or participated, I don't think, at all in training camp.
Well,
but I could be wrong. But if anybody wants to chime in on that, please feel free to do that. But yeah, the Giants are not very good. The Cowboys aren't very good. The Washington Redskins are going to run away with the NFC East.
Well, that division is just – it's really one of the worst. And I don't know if it gets much better. You got the Eagles with a new coach that nobody's heard of. Who knows what they're going to have. Jalen Hurts may be their quarterback. I'm not overly excited about that if I'm an Eagles fan. The Giants didn't draft anybody up front to improve their biggest weakness, and that was offensive line. I mean, poor Daniel Jones running for his life. Barkley gets hurt, right? And then the Redskins, best defense, or Washington football team, best defense I've seen in a long time in that place. And if Fitzpatrick just doesn't turn the ball over, they'll be probably the favorite to win that division.
We got a text here on the Titanmore text line from our good friend Daryl. He said, Shane, I figured JC would have the Jaguars winning the AFC South.
Well, I said they're going to be better. I think we've already heard my dissertation on the Jaguars from 1-15. I wasn't sure about predicting I don't think I predicted a division winner with the Colts getting, Carson Wentz and a good offensive line that they have, the Tennessee Titans with all their players. Houston was the only team in that division I think Jacksonville had a chance to maybe finish ahead of. Then I looked at their schedule and thought, this is doable. I looked at Denver's schedule last night. They've got the sixth easiest schedule. They're going to be improved, too. Denver will be better than they were last year. But, these teams were so bad last year, it's going to be hard not to get better. I still think that's Kansas City's division to win, but I think the Chargers are going to be better. And I think the Chiefs, the Raiders, and Josh Jacobs and my guys out there in Vegas. So. Yeah,
Denver's going to be a lot better. They got a buddy of mine who I know is their new general manager.
They should be better.
Who drafted Pat Surtain, and they've made that roster a lot better. They're pretty good on offense. Dan says injury, COVID, wrong cleats, you name it. Too bad. However, this year will be a great year to follow the Gators. Referring to Kadarius Toney. Yeah, I don't think he's played. I don't think he's played in one preseason game.
Yeah.
I don't think he's suited up, if I'm not mistaken.
Well, then there is something going on. You'd have to pull up the Athletic and subscribe to the Giants part of that. Their beat writers will tell you what's going on with the Giants, and there's plenty of information. That was probably one of the best things I ever did was subscribe to the Athletic for $1 last year. And I'm not sure if that was a 1-year or 2-year deal, but I still get it on the phone. And that gives you more information than I think any outlet on every team that plays, college or pro. And I'm not – stumping the Athletic because I work for them. I'm stumping them here because it's a great publication. You get a lot of information. So I would highly suggest look at that. And then you might find out because you can put in the New York Giants and then you will see all of their beat writers and all of the information that they've filed since they started training camp. So you'll get some info there on Tony if you want to get it. I mean, if that's something you want to look for.
What are the beat writers telling you when you read about the Jaguars?
I rely on Frank Franchi for all my Jaguar information, and you haven't had him on the show lately, so I'm blaming you for that.
Well, Frank's got to be careful what he says because he's the play-by-play guy.
He can tell me
off air what he really thinks, but he can't on air.
Okay. Well, you know, listen, we'll see. Let's see how they do. I'm curious. As I said, there's three preseason games. I've always considered this game to be the most important, just like when they had four, the third game was the most important, because then they'll cut everybody as they go toward the last game, and they won't play anybody important in that last game. So it's kind of it's just a final cut tryout for these guys that are on the bubble, and then they'll start the season with their main guys. So this game tonight, I think you'll see more out of what Jacksonville hopefully has to offer in the regular season in 2 weeks or 3 weeks than maybe what you saw last week, and certainly what you'll see in the next game, because nobody's going to play in that next game who is projected to be on that roster.
Well, for the most part. I was watching yesterday, several teams are going to play their starters a half next week.
Yeah.
Okay. Because they got another week. This game, I mean, think about it. This week, a lot of starters didn't even dress out.
Yeah, maybe I'm wrong about that then. I know they do have that week off.
See, but the Jaguars don't have that. They don't. They have to play everybody every game because they got to figure out who can play.
Yeah,
I'm telling you, they're not a very good football team.
We'll see. They got to figure out who can play. They got to figure out who can play QB. I mean, that's what the preseason's all about, right?
I understand that, but I'm saying they don't have very good players to figure out who can play. Their talent level is not very good. At Comfort Temp, comfort is our business. Peace of mind is our promise. Comfort Temp is now hiring team members with all levels of experience. Great culture and benefits and opportunity for growth. $1,000 signing bonus for qualified positions. Give Comfort Temp a call today. It's 352-376-2366. This day in sports in 1992, Dennis Eckersley, who previously set records for the most consecutive saves, 40, is the first pitcher to record 40 saves in four different seasons. Did you know that, JC?
No.
How about that?
Dang. Well, I will tell you this. The hottest team in baseball starts a series in Atlanta tonight, so keep your eye on that.
Who is the hottest team?
I think you know who the hottest team in baseball is. If you don't, you don't keep up with baseball.
I'm not.
But that would be your New York Yankees.
The Braves are the hottest team in baseball.
The Yankees are the hottest team in baseball. Can you tell me what
their record is compared to the Braves in the last 20 games?
In the last 10, the Yankees are 9-1. The Braves are also.
Yes, what I tried to tell you. Yeah, my point.
Well, your point. Here, let me give you another point. The Yankees are in the playoff picture. The Braves are trying to get into the wild card.
They're leading their division, so they are in the playoffs.
The Braves are leading the division?
Yes. Would you look at your phone and tell me if the Braves are not winning their division?
Maybe I'm they're first in the NL East.
So that means they are winning their division. They are in the playoff hunt.
So, okay.
And if I'm not mistaken.
I will concede that the Braves are just as hot as the Yankees. Okay. I did not know that. All right.
But are the Yankees in the playoffs if they started today?
Yes. They'd be at a wild card. Yep.
Okay. Well, the Braves are.
Tampa Bay is leading the division, but you are correct. I did not notice the Braves as hot as they are. But, you know, last time I checked the Braves, and admittedly, this is my fault, they were a 500 team, and now they're 8 games above 500. The Yankees are 20 games above 500.
They're 12 games above 500. They're 68 and
56. I thought that was 66. Okay. Well, let's just do this. Since the All-Star break, I think the Yankees have had a better record than the Braves. So that qualifies as one of the hottest teams in the Major League Baseball. So, you know,
well, they're good for the Braves. They're the well-paid, the most
as
money.
As are the Dodgers.
But not the Braves.
Well, neither the Rays.
Yeah.
Okay.
And you got to respect those teams a little bit more than you do the ones that throw the money around to the best
players. The Braves?
The Braves. I mean, I that's why I don't like.
This is just how baseball is. QB. The Orioles.
There's no salary cap.
Right. Well, here's the thing too: is that the new collective bargaining agreement has to come out to where you don't incentivize teams to lose like the Orioles, and that's why they're losing right now. They're tanking, and so scheduling has a whole thing to do with how these. But the American League East is the best division in baseball. Has the most teams with the best records. So. I don't know. I'd say you have to give the Yankees credit because you wrote them off, and they're definitely not off. They have overtaken the Red Sox.
Well, that's another reason why I don't care too much about Major League Baseball, because I think they need to have a salary cap.
Mm. Well, I'll let you. Why don't you tell Rob Manfred?
Well, I'm not the only person.
Well,
yeah. All right, we got to run, JC. We got to get to Scott Carter and talk Gator football.
Sounds good. Talk Gators. All right.
All right. That's JC joining us on the Titan MR Hotline. We're going to take our first time out of the program. When we come back, we'll be joined by Florida Gators Gatorsports.com senior writer Scott Carter. You're watching and listening to Pot Up with Matthews in the Morning.
We want to take this moment to thank all our sponsors who keep the show going and pay the bills. Our Gridiron sponsors are Crime Prevention Security Systems, large enough to serve you, small enough to care. Titan MRI, Gainesville's only locally owned and operated MRI facility. Meldon Law, won't back down. Peachland Dental, Gator Nation's first for dentistry in Port Charlotte. Comfort Temp, comfort is our business, peace of mind is our promise. QC Kinetics, non-surgical regeneration, live pain-free. South State Bank, Celebration Point Town Center, Chris Doring Mortgage. Some of our touchdown sponsors are Campus USA Credit Union, Adams Rib Company, Doreen Wiebe Realtor Caldwell Banker, M.M. Parrish, Gator Dominoes, Celebrate Primary Care, Gator Bait Media, Wrap Spot, Okito America, Gators Dockside, Style Cuts, Ironwood Golf Course, Meadowbrook Golf Course, Silverback Concrete Company. If you are interested in promoting your business on the show, visit potupwithshane.com and click the advertise button. Again, thank you to all the great businesses that support the show. If you like what we are doing here, make sure to follow us and support the businesses that support us.
Welcome back to the Crime Prevention Security Systems Studio, Celebration Points, where the Gators go to celebrate, with premium brands like Regal Cinemas, Bass Pro Shops, Nike, Le Macaron, French Pastries, International Diamond Center, and the HBC's new restaurant, Spurrier's Gridiron Grill. We will see you at Celebration Point, where the Gators go to celebrate. We're now going to go to the Titan More Hotline, and we are joined by FloridaGators.com senior writer Scott Carter. Good morning, Scott. How are you?
Hey, good morning, Shane. Man, we're less than 2 weeks away. I'm just thinking about it there from the stadium background behind you. Place. Hopefully there'll be a full house against Florida Atlantic. We'll see, but I know there'll be a lot of people excited to be there.
Yeah, no question about it. I guess a week from today, it'll be kicking off game week. It's hard to believe it's already here. It's game week for some teams that crank it up this weekend. So, Scott, the Gators had their final scrimmage of training camp. Are they still considering it training camp now, or since the scrimmage last night, and they're kind of getting towards game week, it's like, quote, training camp broke, or are they still in training camp?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's kind of a semantic. See, obviously, the guys are starting classes today. They moved out of the hotel. So I guess technically they're kind of going into more of game week, but at the same time, it's still a week of this before game week. So I don't know how he's breaking it down, but, I still think of it as camp until they get to game week, but it is a little different with classes starting today for the guys.
Yeah, so I forgot classes do start today. So basically camp has concluded. They'll get into their normal go to class, go to meetings, practice, go home type schedules now. So anything jump out at you last night at the scrimmage?
I'm like everybody else. I'm going to watch the quarterbacks real closely. It was kind of, for me, similar to the first scrimmage. I thought, both guys had their moments. But I think the takeaway I always so far I've gotten in just my brief two scrimmages, for what that's worth. I mean, Emory is kind of, I see what I expected to a large degree. Anthony Richardson continues to kind of surprise me, with some plays he can make. So, I'm very curious to see how, when they start, what kind of opportunity, how much will Anthony Richardson be used compared to, what Emory was in the past with Kyle Trask and Felipe Franks. I think he'll certainly have a role. I don't know if it will be any more or less. And then we'll just have to wait to see how Emory responds to kind of going in there and being the guy when it really counts. So I think that's the biggest question of that position. But I thought Anthony Richardson continues to open my eyes some, just as a young guy who really haven't seen a lot of Shane. Nothing that Emory is doing that is, makes me think he might not have that job for long. It's just that I've seen Emory. I haven't seen a lot of Anthony, so that's what's my what his comments are based on.
So the when you've been watching the quarterbacks, have they alternated with the ones, or has Emory gone against the twos? I mean, or and Anthony gone against the ones or the twos? Or are they kind of like switching them in and out?
You know, last night I think I saw mostly Emory going against the ones, and I don't think the ones seemed like the defense wasn't in there a long time. But I think Anthony, I think they've split some, but for the most part, I was sitting there watching it with your former teammate, Chris Doering, and Chris Harry, and we were talking about that same thing. We were trying to figure out how much they were breaking it down, you know? Mm-hmm. So, but I think there's some work for each guy against each defense, but seems like to me most of the bulk of Emory is going against the one from what I've seen.
Yeah. Let me ask you this. I know you're not keeping stats or anything like that, but just visually watching it, are we completing the easy throws, Scott? That's my biggest concern. We didn't worry about that with Kyle Trask because, when a guy was open in the flat or whatever, we completed it. That's where my concern about if we want to be how we want to be on offense, we have to complete those. Are they completing those?
I mean, I saw several completed. I don't know what percentage was, Shane, but I know I kept seeing that Nick Elks is the young tight end making a lot of those catches that you're talking about. Jamarcus Weston, we've seen him out there make some nice plays. And we all know that they're going to use the running back, Shane, in the passing game. I think Lingard had a little touchdown swing catch last night. Obviously, Malik Davis is one of their regular guys that they like to throw to. So, but you're right. I totally agree with you there in terms of, you got to make those plays to make the running game work and then to keep the defense honest. So once in a while you can hit the long ball because, they'll certainly try that on occasion. But I think there's probably – it's not going to be at Kyle Trask level, I don't think, to start the season off. But I do think that they've been making some of those plays.
We got a Facebook Live question here for you. Scott, how is Trent Whittemore doing?
He's the one guy I always like to watch. He's just a really solid gamer, man. I think he's going to – he's one of those guys that when you're talking about those underneath catches and having that go-to guy under coverage, to me, he's that guy you want to really develop a rhythm with if you're one of the quarterbacks and get on the same page with, because I think he's going to be such a crucial part of that part of the game. But go ahead.
I think he's the best overall wide receiver we have on the roster.
I can't argue from what I've seen there. I mean, he is really a good young receiver.
He's reliable. He's reliable. He knows where to go. He's going to catch everything thrown his way. He's fast now, but he may not be the fastest guy on the team. But I'm telling you, I think from overall athletic ability, he is by far the best wide receiver on the roster.
I think you probably got some people there would agree with you for sure, Shane. I know he's under the radar in Gator fans' eyes, some behind Copeland and maybe a couple other guys. But those guys like Whittemore who have all the intangibles already at a young age, and you're right, he has great athletic ability. We've all seen those, videos of him dunking and stuff like that. I mean, this guy is a great athlete. It just has the knowledge. I guess he just has the feel for the game. You can tell he's kind of got a feel for the game that a lot of young players, it just takes them a lot of time and coaching to reach. It seems like Whittemore is ahead of the curve there. So, if he just can let his natural ability take over and stay healthy, I see him being a big part of this offense in 2021.
No doubt about it. At Chris Doering Mortgage, they do mortgage lending right, helping home buyers throughout Gainesville and North Central Florida. Call Chris Doering Mortgage today at 352-244-0840. Speaking with Scott Carter here for a few more minutes. Facebook Live brought to you by Metal Law. Cliff wants to know, how does the defense look?
I thought they were okay. I don't see anything glaring. I know they're – we talked last week, Shane, what are they working on specifically, the coaches? And that's right. Something that I don't have the answer for. So, last night they kept the ones in there for a while, but they also got a lot of work in the second half from what I saw with the third team. So they were getting a look at a lot of different people, both of the young quarterbacks, the true freshmen. They were getting a lot of reps. I even saw some other quarterbacks just taking a series here and there. So, you know, it was one of those deals where I think they were just getting a lot of people looks to get a final evaluation in a in the stadium setting in a scrimmage to see, okay, can this guy help us any there? But for the, you know, a lot of those young or a lot of the starters that we're talking about on defense, they were on the sideline a lot last night, I think, just from precautionary reasons. But you know, I thought, who was it? I think Cox got in there to make a nice play on one drive I saw. I think the young freshman Marshall maybe had another pick, the cornerback. So, you know, I'm interested to see some of these young guys, you know, once it starts, to see what they can do.
Yeah, it's hard for the average person or anyone sitting in the stands to really tell how a person played. You know, I was just thinking about it when you brought it up, Scott. You know, Pro Football Focus, who does a tremendous job, they grade every play of every player in the National Football League. They even do it at the collegiate level.
Mm-hmm.
But I've always wanted to know, and next time I have one of those guys on them, I ask them, how do you go about grading them? Because you don't know what play was called. You don't know what the left tackle's responsibility was on that play. You know, so how do you know if it's graded correctly?
Yeah.
So, you know, when you're sitting in the stands and we're watching a defense play and let's say a cornerback gets beat or whatever, well, it may not be his fault depending on what defense was called. So it's hard if you're not in the meeting rooms and knowing what's going on, how to evaluate. As much football as I've been around, I could sit there and say that was a terrible play by Anthony Richardson. Well, Dan Mullen and them may say that was a great play by him because he did what he was supposed to do. If we don't know what the play and the assignments are, it's hard to evaluate.
No.
Cliff says hopefully they won't rotate guys in and out as frequently this season to keep the confusion down. Yeah, I hope they don't do that either. That was my biggest concern about the defense last year. Dan asked on Facebook Live, I don't know if you know this, Scott, or not, but he says, are they talking about restricting the crowds? Why wouldn't the first game be full? I think as of right now, it's going to be a packed house.
Yeah, I mean, I haven't heard anything that they're talking about restricting crowds. In fact, I know that they're really hoping that there are no restrictions. You know, with what's going on at UF and in the UAA, obviously the UAA takes the lead from you know, Shands Medical and UF, they kind of set the tone there. And obviously the state of Florida, you know, a couple weeks ago, it looked like it was worse. Maybe it seems today as we talk here, Shane, it seems like some of the numbers are looking better. But as far as the crowd, I mean, I think it's just going to be a case of you know, how many people are comfortable, how many people want to be back in that stadium environment. So from a UA standpoint, there's nothing I know of that they're trying to reduce the crowd. It's just really going to be how many people show up.
Scott, I know last year at this time it was chaos. I mean, the kids were being tested three times a week. Fill us in on the testing protocol right now. If a player or athlete, regardless of what sport at Florida, if they are vaccinated, do they still get tested?
I think it's on a kind of a concern if there's a you know, an issue that pops up. I mean, I know there's still regular testing and stuff, but I don't have it right here in front of me, Shane, to break it down for you. But I know that's still part of the protocol, but I don't know if it's everybody's required to do it each week or if it's only, you know, when an issue arises where, okay, you fit into that category where you need to get tested. Let's look at your tests and then either move on or, you know, maybe take a precaution. So I'll try to get, you know, better information there. But it's certainly, you know, with the vaccination rates and it's just such a different climate from what I could tell internally, even from last year. I mean, you know, everybody's kind of more used to this. They know how this thing works in terms of how you can still go about having a college football season and stay healthy. So that's just a credit to a lot of the people who really devised the system last year. And now you just hope that there's not another situation that slows everything down once the season gets started, because, you know, it's still a lot of moving parts, as they say, Shane, on the political spectrum and really just the health spectrum. I mean, you know, there's still a lot of people from what I'm reading that's getting sick, but it doesn't seem like it was last year, you know?
Yeah. Dan says on Facebook Live here, brought to you by Mental Law, I'm not happy that the university went to no paper tickets. As a season ticket holder, I'd like to get the paper tickets too, to keep. You know, I think a lot of people like to keep them, put them in, you know, notebooks or shadow boxes, well, and all that kind of stuff.
I think there may be an option coming up for that. I think they've heard from some other people like Dan. So I think they may be offering some kind of a package coming up. So keep your eyes and ears open for that.
James has a text here for you, Scott, on the Titan Amar text line. He says, which freshman do you think could have the biggest impact of playing time this year?
True freshman. I mean, let me think here. I mean, goodness. Now, when I start thinking about this, Shane, my mind, see, I've only had one cup of coffee. Jason Marshall Jr. is the guy who I've seen the most in camp. So, you know, you consider, okay, Jaden Hill goes down. You've got Elijah Blades. You got Jadarius Perkins. But we all know, you know, Blades, you know, he's a veteran guy, but I don't know if you would call him a star at the college level. So, but he's a good veteran guy to have on your team. Perkins is an interesting talent to me because I think his best football could be ahead. But Jason Marshall, they really liked him coming out of high school. And now he's at a position of need. So if I had to just probably label one guy who we may see the most of so far, I would have him in that position.
Yeah, we got a bunch of transfers, I think, that are going to have a lot of say in playing time. All right, real quick, before we let you go, the kicking situation. Okay, correct me if I'm wrong. The Howard kid is still here, who's a pretty solid kicker. But then you got the transfer from Mississippi State who's up for the Lou Groza Award.
Yeah.
Well, he may not even be the kicker, right?
Well, I mean, there's definitely a competition there. I saw both of them get some work last night. Crispin, the guy who came in from Mississippi State, obviously Mullen and those guys who were there, they know him from their time there. He's only got 1 year of eligibility left. And we've seen Chris Howard in limited capacity at Florida. But the kicking position, you know, with Eddie Pinheiro and obviously kid last year. Why am I – my mind's blanking.
Yeah, he's at he's with the kicking for the Browns. Bengals.
Yeah, Bengals. But anyway, with those two guys, I mean, the kicking position has been such a, you know, a strength of the Gators. And really, you can go all the way back to Caleb Sturgis and some other guys, Chaz Henry. I mean, their kickers have really been good in the last decade or so. So this is an interesting year with those guys. But I do think it's a job that's open. But I got to believe that Crispin might have a little bit leg up, no pun intended there, with his experience and stuff.
We had a Facebook Live a few minutes ago. I forgot to read it. I can't remember who it was from. And it's brought to you by Mental Law. But they were talking about when you talked about kids getting back to classes. Last year, everything was done online. So correct me if I'm wrong. The university now, all classes are in person, correct?
Yeah, I mean, they are. They started this morning. And I could tell you, as someone who was on campus the last few days, I mean, it looks different than it's been since March 12th, 2020, Shane. I mean, it's not been the same since that day. And it was kind of cool to see all the students and, you know, they're moving into their places over the last couple of days. And there's an energy there that hasn't been there. But as of now, yes, all classes are in person. I think there were some, you know, they're going to monitor those like they do the team. I mean, people are, you know, vaccinated. If there's people sick and they have contact tracing, I guess they'll go from there. But as of now, everything's in person to my knowledge.
Yeah, and Dan says the season ticket packs only had a license plate and a car sticker this year. I've had season tickets for 30-plus years. I've had season tickets, Dan, for about 25 years, and I haven't gotten mine. So, and I'm behind technology. I kind of like to have my ticket in my hand. Maybe I need to call the ticket office and figure out, are they going to send me my tickets via, like, email or what? You got any ideas, Scott, about that?
You know, I mean, I just know that you can sign into your ticket.
See, I have no idea what my password or username or anything. I usually just pick up the phone and call and say, okay, hey, this, I'm paying for my ticket. Send them to me.
I'm totally the same. And the ticket thing that you guys brought up, you know, having the actual paper ticket, I'm that kind of guy too. I think probably if you're 35, 40 or older, you're that camp. And then I think the younger generation, it's like, okay, we don't worry about that stuff. But I think we all know that on a typical Saturday at Florida Field, there's a lot of people in that camp that we are. So I do expect them to have some announcements soon about paper ticket options or some kind of package like that. But we'll see what they are.
Yeah, Dan says the tickets are on the app. You will need your phone to get in. I don't have the app, Dan. I don't even know where my tickets are. I know they're paid for, and I've yet to receive anything in the mail. So maybe I need to call. But good stuff, Scott. Appreciate it. Stay safe. Last thing, Cliff asks, are face coverings going to be optional in the stadium? Have you heard anything about that?
I think the terminology they're using, what is strongly suggested, so that is optional. I don't think, obviously, they're not mandatory. So it's really just a personal choice, I think, at this point, from my knowledge.
Okay. All right. Good stuff, Scott. Anything good on the website right now people can read?
You know, we're just getting ready, man. I'm going to pick up speed here. I'm going to write something a little more in depth about Trayvez Johnson, the young defensive back. His stepdad's the third base coach of the Cubs under David Ross. So, you know, he's a baseball player, football player, but now the Gators are hoping that he makes his name at that star position. So that's something I got going this week. And we'll get it cranked up as the season approaches.
Good stuff, Scott. Be safe. We'll talk to you soon, buddy.
See you guys.
That's Scott Carter from FloridaGators.com. Join us on the Titan Tomorrow Hotline. Going to take our final time out of the program. Come back and wrap up this Monday edition.
We want to take this moment to thank all our sponsors who keep the show going and pay the bills. Our Gridiron sponsors are Crime Prevention Security Systems, large enough to serve you, small enough to care. Titan MRI, Gainesville's only locally owned and operated MRI facility.
Meldon Law, won't back down.
Peachland Dental, Gator Nation's first choice for dentistry in Port Charlotte. Comfort Temp, comfort is our business, peace of mind is our promise.
QC Kinetics, non-surgical regeneration, live pain-free.
South State Bank,
Celebration Point Town Center, Chris Doring Mortgage. Some of our touchdown sponsors are Big Mills Cheesesteaks, MB Listing, Cornerstone Financial, McDonald's of Gainesville, My IT Masters, Gainesville Neon and Signs, 84 Lumber, Tropical Smoothie Cafe, Chick-fil-A on Archer Road, Haver and Smith, Dowling Signs, Chomp Carter Apparel, Ruse Ogra Agent, State Farm Insurance, Silver Cube Billiards and Sports Bar. If you are interested in promoting your business on the show, visit potupwithshane.com and click the advertise button. Again, thank you to all the great businesses that support the show. If you like what we are doing here, make sure to follow us and support the businesses that support us.
Welcome back to the Crime Prevention Security System Studios, large enough to serve you, small enough to care. Center State Bank is now South State Bank, but we still put business first. We understand that small businesses need a community business partner that they can rely on. South State still has four convenient Alachua County locations. South State Bank, Bank of Ford, member FDIC. I want to thank JC and Scott Carter for joining us on the Titan Tomorrow Hotline. Make sure all your friends and family follow our program. We're getting ready into the meat of this program coming up with football. I have a lot of good guests cranking up next week and some this week as well. Jags play tonight. Check them out. I'm on record that Zach Wilson will be your freshman rookie of the year. That guy's a good player. But anyway, enjoy the game tonight. We'll talk to Buddy Martin tomorrow. Today's show is a wrap, brought to you by Wrap Spot.